Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Psychic City Sports, everybody. I'm Dan the Freak Zafrigo alongside Joey Real Talk Vitrano and the hostess with the mostest, Ryan Nedner.
Welcome back, guys. We are back this week. This is Second State Sports Chat. Welcome to the show. As always, make sure you find us on social media. Find us on Twitter. It's at Second City SC, Facebook.com/Second State Sports Chat, BlogTalkRadio.com/Second State Sports Chat. That's how you listen to us. If you have iTunes, or if you have Apple, use iTunes. You'll find us on there. And if you have an Android, use Stitcher. You can find us on there as well. And as always, go to the website, SecondStateSportsChat.com. Guys, this week we're going to go over a little bit of NFL Week 4 recap as Monday Night Football is coming to a close. And go Cubs go, because the Cubs are in the playoffs. And it's really kind of hitting me now that they're actually in the playoffs.
It's been like 7 years.
Yeah, it's 08.
Yeah.
Wednesday night will be the game in Pittsburgh, Jake Arrieta versus Garrett Cole. That'll be a great – oh, my God, Detroit. That'll be a great one. Along with some other – I mean, you got Houston and the Yankees are tomorrow, so we'll go over that, too, and see who we think can win those games. Let's jump into it with football. So after the whole mess that was Week 4, barring this game, there are 6 undefeated teams. It's New England, Cincinnati, Denver, Green Bay, Carolina, and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of your teams are there.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that 2 teams from the NFC South are going to be undefeated?
Not even close.
No. This is just ugh. So out of the 6 unbeaten, I'll go to you first, Joe, because I think it's a little bit harder for you because 3 of your teams are in there. Which ones do you think are the most complete team right now?
I think really the Patriots, they're the whole package on both sides of the ball. I mean, with the Packers, they got the great offense, but the defense they're not the best out there. And plus with the injuries that they have. And then Carolina, honestly, how the hell is that a thing? I mean,
even with injuries.
With all their injuries, like, they probably got beat up the worst.
Yeah.
And they're still showing that Superman Cam gives no fucks and he just wants to win.
They're making it work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm impressed with all the teams, but I think the Patriots are so far the ones that have everything going on for them on both sides, even special teams and just all around looking probably the best out of them.
Dan?
I think you're Joey. I think the Patriots and Packers of all those teams are probably the more well-rounded of all of them. The offenses for both teams are just outstanding right now. Brady and Aaron Rodgers are just killing it stat-wise, yards, touchdowns. They're just unbeatable right now. I mean, Aaron Rodgers continuing his streak at home is crazy.
Yeah.
And then Brady coming back, his revenge tour, they call it. And like you said, like Joey said, defenses on both sides for each team isn't too well, not too good. But, I mean, the offense just scores so much points.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to do much work. So, but out of all those teams, I think Packers and the Patriots are the more well-rounded teams.
Yeah, I think so, too. At least I know for sure the Patriots are a well-rounded team because, like, it's Brady. And Belichick and them, I think they just have some on their shoulders. And it's driving them to do things that are just insane. I mean, it's going to be really hard for me to say if they're better than the team that went 18-1 years back, because that was the year that Brady destroyed the record books. And Randy Moss destroyed the record books. And their defense was really good. You know, overall, it was a good team. This team, it looks a little different. But, I mean, they show a lot of similarities, at least in the way Brady's playing. There's a lot of similarities to what he did years past. And it's kind of scary because it's like, wow, I mean, here's a guy that we kind of assume is getting close to the end of his career in the NFL, just turned it on to a whole other level again. And to me, that's insane to see. But on the Packers side, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it all rests on if they have home field advantage for the playoffs. That's what it rests on, because it's not that they're a bad team, because they're not, but when they're on the road, when they're on the road, I mean, no matter who they play, it seems, because I mean, that first game against the Bears, the Bears, you know, at times can play the Packers tough, but if that's in Lambeau, I mean, it's not close. It's nowhere near as close as it was. So I think the Packers and Packer faithful, really, if you got hope that you get home field advantage, because I think if they get home field advantage, the NFC is in trouble. I don't think there's a solid team out there. I mean, I look at Carolina. You touched upon Joey. They're beat up with injuries, and I don't know how many of these guys actually are going to be back. You know, I mean, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Atlanta, I like what Atlanta's doing. I like that they have a different – it seems like they have different characteristic and they have a different style the way they play with Dan Quinn as their head coach now, not mm-hmm. Mike Smith. It seems like they're really aggressive now, and that's good. I mean, it's how you have to play. And Devonta Freeman is the first running back since LT, I think maybe 07, 09, I don't know.
Three rushing touchdowns.
Yes, in back-to-back games, yeah.
Yep.
That's insane.
No, at the end of three games in a row.
Yeah, he has two. So he'd have to do it one more, tie LT for the record. But Atlanta, I mean, they have their flaws. And Denver, you know, their lack of a running game is prevalent. And their Peyton's got to make sure he still stays on track because he's really not the Peyton of before where he puts up flashy numbers. It's kind of
exactly.
Get the job done and let the defense carry it. And Cincinnati, my thing is I like Andy Dalton. I think he's been good in the regular season for most of his career, but once he gets to the playoffs, it's just going to be hard to show. So it comes down, I agree, it's the Patriots and the Packers. And I give the edge to the Patriots just because the Patriots can win whether they're at home or on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how well the Packers are going to do on the road. They looked good the two games they have played on the road, the Bears and Kansas City, but I'm not sure yet. Let's jump into week four, going over some of the games here. Bears and Oakland. Bears get their first win. Bear down, guys. 22-20. Cutler, 281 yards, two touchdowns. Looked really good in the pocket. Hammy looked good because he was able to bounce around and make and extend plays longer. And Eddie Royal looked really good, too. Really jump-starting an offense without Jeffrey. And the black unicorn, Martellus Bennett. Boom. Carried it. Yeah. He just carried it. 11 catches, 83 yards, touchdown. Compared Cutler to Jesus after. So I don't know what that was all about. And then Oakland, you know, they still look good. But the big thing
– good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good game.
Yeah, I mean, now let's go over this. The Bears, let's not get overly enthusiastic about the win.
Oh,
because
not.
It's the Raiders. No offense. I like the Raiders.
They're a little hot streak, though.
Right. Too. So, but they're not nearly as good yet. The Bears' defense is something for us. For me, it's a bright spot because it's getting better. And you're starting to see more pieces.
Well, you see
that,
making changes and actually getting shit done for the team.
Right.
And it needed to be done for the last, like, 3 years.
It looks like there's, like, because the Bears are in are going into an overhaul mode. Regardless of what happens the rest of this year, even if miraculously the Bears went out, you know, even if that's the best-case scenario, it's not going to happen. But if they were, this team's still getting overhauled. There's a lot of changes that are coming. But I think from what we're seeing the last few games, especially with the defense, there are pieces that you're seeing you can pluck out, whether it's McPhee or Amos or any of them or Goldman. You're plucking them out and you can say, oh, okay, well, this will work to build around for the future and we can build this guy around, you know. On the offense, it's a little bit of a different story because all your chips are old. Bennett's older. You know, Forte's getting to that point where I know you love him, Dan. But he's getting that point where he's going to start going down. AP's the same way.
Yeah.
So, Joey, from an outside perspective, because you're not a Bears fan, what's your thoughts on the Bears win here against Oakland?
I think it is a good win because, I mean, regardless of what you think of Oakland this year, they're a good team.
They've been hot, yeah.
They know how to play now. Derek Carr, I think, has found his groove. And I say the Bears, you should be happy that you got this win because not only is it your first win, but – you want to get the team that's actually destroying these other teams.
That's
and you're like, wait, is this Oakland? Like the Oakland Raiders, right? This is the same team. And they're not a team that you could just kind of throw around anymore. They're kind of competitive, and they're getting up there. And,
how many of us picked the Bears to lose this one?
Yeah.
I think most of us
picked no wins.
Right? So, I mean, that alone shows you how good that they're playing or how bad the Bears are playing. But regardless – so I think it's good that the Bears got this win. They kind of needed it.
Yeah, 0-4, that's a little hard for them.
Yeah, that would be extremely rough to see. But as far as the overhaul, I feel like, that's ideal. I mean, whoever is giving you offers for anything, I say you honestly take it at this point. And if someone makes you a good trade for Forte, I mean, why are you going to keep him if you know you're not going anywhere? Why,
that's how
why
I look at it. You know you're not going to re-sign him.
Yeah, I mean – Forte is amazing running back. But for Forte's point, he's at a dead-end job right now. He's just sitting there at the Bears. He's working at McDonald's his whole life. He's not doing anything. Put him on some team. Make him a third-string running back somewhere where you need him in at the very end. That would be perfect for him.
I think
he's getting older, reduce his carries. Give him somewhere where he's got two other guys that could carry him. You know, so
I'd
say if you get a good offer, just get rid of him.
I think what the Bears are waiting on, and the trade deadline will be coming up, the way I look at it is they're waiting. Because I guarantee you they've had offers. There's no doubt in my mind that they've had offers.
Matt Forte? Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, what they're doing, and this is smart, is they're waiting until one of these contending teams loses a top running back. And as soon as that happens.
Make a good deal for him.
Right. Because there's going to be a team. It happens. Injuries happen all the time.
Especially for
and I think the Bears are just banking on, okay, let's run this all the way down to the wire. Because I don't think Matt will be gone before November 1st for the Vikings game. I don't. Because the trade deadline's 2 days later. I believe they're going to run that all the way till the wire, see what happens, does any injuries happen, and then if there is no injuries out there, then they just look at it and say, okay, this is what we're being offered. Do we take it? And for me, I agree with you, Joey. If you, at that point, kind of cut your loss if you don't plan on re-signing him. Now, if you plan on re-signing Matt Forte, that's a whole different story. Don't take a bad offer then. But if you're sitting there and they're like, you know, for instance, if Dallas or Tampa or, you know, any of those teams that so far we've heard it rumored be interested, say, hey, we'll throw you a third-round pick and then take it because you're not going to get much more for that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, I mean, that's pretty high for Matt, who is, like you said, Joe, he's really, really good, and he can start on any team in the NFL. I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe he can. But he is getting older, and if you can't put that much money into him, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts, Dan, on the Bears win against Oakland?
Actually – I mean, I was kind of surprised they actually did kind of win.
I was too.
Oakland was just doing really well for the last couple of weeks. And, of course, you see the Bears. The Bears have been the same Bears the last couple of years, just struggling. And even against the bad teams, they kind of struggled now. So it was nice to see. It was actually close. You know, it's kind of back and forth, which is kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
And kind of interesting game. But I'm kind of glad they got the win. I did not want to see them go 0-4. That's just bad. It just hurts personally. It's nice to see that.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, for watching it right away, they jumped out immediately and were competing with Oakland.
Yeah.
They were back and forth. They were making good plays on defense, good plays on offense.
When you hear Jimmy Clausen not playing, I can see why now Miles calls him Jesus, because when you go from Clausen to Cutler, it's like
the Messiah has shown himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The Bears, they needed the win. They got the win. They played well. There's bright spots to take away from it. There's still low spots, but I think overall I look at this and I say, okay, Cutler looked good. He took shots downfield. He looked a lot more accurate than in the past. Really, this whole season thus far.
That's what I like from Jay Cutler, because when he's on his game,
yeah,
he does really well. And
yeah.
He just looks good.
He looked good, really, but the three games he's played, he didn't look bad.
No.
You know, I mean, he's got
what, two picks?
He threw one against Oakland, so three now. Yeah, so my prediction's not looking too hot, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, it's like a game, you know. I mean, if he gets hurt again and stays out,
yeah,
it's going to work.
We're going to look at it from John Fox's point of view of, regardless of how he's doing, is can he keep consistently putting up this type of game?
And he has so far, which is good.
Yeah.
But from, you know, his mentality, John Fox, of wanting to start over, you think you start over from literally – you know, from the very bottom and just gut whoever and wherever
I think it will be just about that. I don't think Cutler's here after this year. I think they'll be willing to, if they got to eat some money, they'll eat some money. The only thing that will save Jay Cutler his job is either A, Pace and Fox say, all right, we're going to draft a guy. We're going to keep you one extra year. That doesn't shock me. The kid out of Cal. That's what they get. They're high in the draft. That's who, they sent like four scouts this past week to scout the guy. So that tells me a lot of things. That tells me Ryan Pace saying, hey, I don't want just one guy looking at him. I want multiple people because I want a lot of reports.
Well, look what's happening in the last like 20 years, if not more.
Yeah.
We have nobody. You need a good scouting.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything good with it.
The Bears have a shot here. Now, it's going to suck as Bears fans because you're going to have to eat a lot of losses. But the Bears have a shot to completely rebuild an offense in two seasons. if they're bad this year, which they are, but, you know, if they fall and they can get in that top five of the draft, they get this kid out of Cal, and then if you suck one more year, that kid, that Leonard kid out of LSU that's been tearing up, he comes out in 2 years. If you can then suck one more year and get him, you've just completely rebuilt your offense in 2 years.
Yeah.
You've got a quarterback that looks pretty sound and a running back that's tearing up. Now they're in college right now, so there's a lot of things.
Oh,
man. Seattle, Calvin Johnson fumbled the ball in the end zone. My Lord. But, no, back to the Bears. It's just they have a chance, but you're going to have to accept losing. And I know it's hard because not all of us are Cub fans, so we can't just accept losing. But you kind of have to. It's true, though. The Cub fans were taught, like, it was kind of in their brain, like, okay, we know what we're doing. We believe in this team. They went and got Theo Epstein, and everybody in the Cub, everybody for the most part in the Cubs fan base said, oh, we got the right guy. Let's trust the process. It's hard for some other fans to do that, whether it's Bears fans, whether it's, you know, Sox fans. It is extremely, because there's a lot of Sox fans that are just like, no, we want results. We want results. Well, you know, sometimes your team just struggles and you have to rebuild.
Well, no one likes team bad. That's big thing.
Right. And you just have to, if you got to rebuild, you got to rebuild. And that's what the Bears are doing. So, Joey, to your point, I think it's a complete gut. At this point, I mean, there will be a few people that stay around because there's been bright spots.
Well, of course. I mean, not going to agree with everybody, but
right.
I mean, what we've seen from, you know, the Bears recently, a lot of people should be gone.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not working, so get some new people, get some new blood in there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's gonna be tough, but overall, Bears win. They have a win now, 1-3 on the season. There we go. Not bad.
Exactly.
Some more news. Dolphins lose 27-14 in London to the Jets. They just got beat bad. Chris Ivory tore them up. The Dolphins have looked awful.
They just look like shit.
It's a good way,
like,
to put it. Just
seriously,
shit.
I mean, what we thought the potential they had this year, they're just not producing anything. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Well, they made some moves, though, and they said bye to the coach.
Yeah, Joe Philbin's gone. Yeah, Joe Philbin fired. Had to happen when Jarvis Landry had the most rushing yards on your team this week, guys. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. And then for the Jets, they look pretty good. Ivory 166 yards.
Yeah, he tore it up.
Marshall 128 yards.
Yeah, the whole Jets team look good.
Yep, the Jets offense has looked really, you know, pretty good thus far, and their defense look really good.
Yeah,
so again, another year where I really count the Jets out, and they just continue to impress me. Atlanta wins after Devonta Freeman has 3 touchdowns. First time since LT did that. LT, of course, did it 3 games in a row with 3 touchdowns. So we'll see if Freeman can do it again this week. And then he looked good. He's been a little hot spark for the Falcons. Yeah, he is. With Tevin Coleman going down, he's definitely stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis and Matt Hasselbeck survive against the Jacksonville Jaguars in overtime, 16-13.
I hate to say survive.
They did. I mean, if they should have. They could have lost. It was bad.
Granted, they had Andrew Luck out, so that did hurt him a little bit, but still, it's Jacksonville.
Hearing he has a separated shoulder.
Yeah, I don't remember what they called it, because they did say separated when I looked it up on Twitter.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was called, but he said he might be able to play week 5.
Hopefully, for their sake, because Jacksonville came at them with almost everything they had, and they almost pulled that one out. And then the NFC East kind of up for grabs, because you got the Giants beating the Falcons. You've got
Bills.
Oh, the Bills. Yeah, sorry. They lost to the Falcons.
Yeah,
beating the Bills. You got the Redskins beating the Eagles. The Cowboys losing to the Saints. So the whole division is 2-2. Yeah, 2-2. Except the Eagles. They're 1-3.
I thought they're 1-3.
Yeah, they're 1-3. So out of those 4 teams, which is you think is the least likely to make a run? I think it's the Giants, because their schedule is so favorable. For like the next 4 or 5 games, they play like really easy teams. And the Giants, to me, if you can get on a run and take advantage of Romo being gone till I think they said week 11.
And Eagles and Dallas aren't. I mean, Dallas. I mean, that hurts them a lot. And Eagles just have not looked good at all.
No, and the Redskins, I don't trust them.
Nope.
So I look at this and I'm like, ooh, well, here come the Giants making a run.
Mm-hmm.
Tough for the NFC East. Still tough. So out of those teams, Dan, who do you think?
I'll probably have to go with the Giants myself also.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really just based on schedule. I mean, here, I'll pull it. You've got...
Here's what I've seen from the teams. Dallas doesn't look that bad. Brandon Whedon actually not too bad.
Yeah.
For how bad he usually is. But the Eagles just look like shit.
Here's their run coming at you. San Francisco, Philadelphia, Dallas, New Orleans, and Tampa. That's a run. That could possibly be 4 out of 5 wins, at least 3 out of 5 with New Orleans, Tampa, and San Francisco. I mean, that's pretty good. I can't believe it that the Giants are surviving like this, but the injuries that happened, I mean, that's how it goes down.
The
Joey,
Giants way.
Yeah,
they're sucking and do good.
Out of that, the Giants are the ones that stand a chance.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're still around. They're not hurt.
That's the thing. And Philadelphia, I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, Chip Kelly.
Dallas, I mean, what the hell again?
Poor luck.
Yeah, that's terrible luck right there.
What about the Redskins?
What about the Reds?
The Rams just like play good teams.
I guess.
The Eagles aren't really good right now.
Yeah, but
not
I mean,
bad,
they didn't look bad though.
Yeah.
Seattle about to beat Detroit. They did. They just beat Detroit. If Calvin doesn't fumble in the end zone, the game is probably Detroit's. But Seattle survives against Detroit 13-10.
I can't believe it. I don't think Calvin Johnson fumbled that though. But
they got punched.
Yeah.
Sure would have won that.
So that's. Seattle survives there and wins that one. I think it's like, 25 out of 27 at home or something like that now?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's ridiculous. St. Louis beats Arizona. WTF? What the hell? We just saw St. Louis lose to Washington. They put up a good fight against Steelers. And then they come out and beat Arizona, who everybody's like, oh, that's the hot team.
Yeah, they did it so well. And then it's just like,
Oh, my God. Todd Gurley, though, emerges. That's definitely my player of the week. The young man in his second game, he puts up 146 yards on 19 carries.
So I like to see.
What a beast. What a stud. Todd Gurley looked really good. Nick Foles threw 3 touchdowns, 2 of them to Tavon Austin. So
Arizona was kind of quiet.
They were. Palmer only able to throw a touchdown. He did put up over 300 yards. Chris Johnson, again, not bad, 83 yards. I mean, that's not terrible.
Chris Johnson.
Yeah, and Fitzgerald and John Brown had pretty good games. Even David Johnson had a pretty good game receiving, especially. So, you know, Arizona played good, but their defense didn't look that great against St. Louis.
No.
And that, to me, that's kind of surprising. But, again, St. Louis did beat Seattle earlier in the season as well. Green Bay, Joey, they shut down Kaepernick. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised because that's Green Bay's biggest weakness is a mobile quarterback. And San Francisco is the one that just knows how to play Green Bay so well. And the way we played against them was really amazing. To shut down a mobile quarterback in literally every form of it.
Yeah.
And then Clay Matthews getting home and saying, who do you think you are, Russell Wilson?
It's pretty funny.
Hilarious. And I heard people saying that. The Packers are playing like old school football again, which is amazing. But I think every team needs to play like old school football and bring out the anger and rivalry back, and you know, start trash talking people when you do shit. Like that. I mean, that's the whole point of football and competitive sports. Big win regardless, 4-0, and I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, Green Bay kind of it looked at times like they were going to sacrifice it. They'll let him run a little bit. I mean, he got 57 yards, not bad. But he also ran the ball 10 times for the 57 yards. So, and they were pretty consistent at shutting him down. They definitely shut him down passing, too, because it was like they would force him to throw, and he just did not get it done.
I mean, that team just not looking good. He's just struggling so far this year.
Yeah.
Looking up against Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his first 2 drives, just 2 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why, even though Kaepernick plays obviously against good against Green Bay,
that
we've seen the last few years he's been in the league. I mean, this year so far, I did not like him.
Yeah.
Usually he's not bad, especially out the pocket. He's fast.
Mm-hmm.
He can make plays. But, yeah, so far he's struggled this year. It's like Andrew Luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think sadly Kaepernick is one of those one-hit wonders. He had that one good year.
Yeah.
That really good year, and that was it.
Yeah, he's really slow. I mean, with that defense being kind of slowed down a little bit with the loss of players. And Carlos Hyde had that really good game against the Vikings, but then he's really been nothing.
Yep.
So it's just been rough, and he hasn't been able to find it. Saints missed the field goal within the inside the 20-yard line, go to overtime, 80-yard touchdown Spillers start off overtime.
Thank you.
Joey wins in fantasy because of it against Pete. What the hell?
Loser.
A lot of field goals missed this past week, and really this whole season. What the hell's going on?
Well, I mean, they moved. Well, I don't know, the PATs.
Well, they did move it. That's what they're missing. That's what people are missing, are PATs.
Like, I mean, which is good, because that means you have to get a good kicker.
Yeah, it's not like guaranteed, like point.
Which is what the NFL wanted.
Yeah,
because when you usually get the touchdown, everybody just assumed there was seven.
Yeah.
Because you could. And you would see when they would hike the ball, nobody would ever go for it, because they're like, you have to go 5 yards to get to the goal.
Yeah.
Like, why am I going to exert my energy to attempt to block a ball that I know I'm not going to?
Yeah.
So now, I mean, well, I like it.
Look at Robbie Gould got blocked for the Bears, and that almost cost them the game because of that. So, I mean, damn. It was rough for kicking.
I like it, though, because that means these kickers are going to have to actually start playing fine.
A little competitive now, a little bit more. And then the Bills, just to touch upon, they lost this week, as we touched upon, the Giants. They had 58 penalties in the first four games. Rex Ryan comes out and says, I like a team. I love this team. This team will fight to the end, blah, blah, blah. That's great. You have a team that's willing to fight, but you're making mistakes and shooting yourself
in the
foot.
Very bad mistakes. They're killing you in games.
Yeah. You shouldn't have lost the Giants, but you killed yourself with penalties. It's ridiculous.
That's what happens.
I mean, that's I was frustrated just watching the Bears get penalties against Oakland, but geez, 58 penalties in four games.
Yeah.
Tell me whatever you will. I mean, you can blame it on the officiating. It's not. You guys are over physical when you don't need to be, and that's a problem. Like, these are fundamental mistakes.
Yeah, that's just sloppy play.
Yeah.
People being angry and just being immature and stuff like that. You know, it's as simple as that.
They're ridiculous. Well, let's see the rest of the games that we missed. San Diego.
San Diego and Cleveland, you mean?
Yeah, San Diego beats Cleveland. Denver beat Minnesota.
Barely.
Barely. I missed any other ones?
Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati beats them. Yes, they did. Andy Dalton looked pretty good again. He had like over 100 yards in the first quarter. He was looking pretty. He was like 8 of 8, 9 of 9, something like that. He did really well in that game. Carolina beats Tampa 37-23. Jameis Winston didn't look bad, but again,
he put some good points.
Yeah, but Cam Newton just looked better. Yeah. And the defense of Carolina looked really good.
Can't be Superman.
No, unless you're
a good team.
New England and Tennessee got a very good game. They didn't win or lose.
Oh, because they're on a bye. Yeah. I was like, I really can't even play each other.
Right.
Before we move on here to baseball, guys, Thursday, Indianapolis at Houston, who wins? Is Luck going to play? It's a short week.
Yeah. I kind of just want to say Indy, because Houston just has not played so well at all this year.
Yeah.
But Indy doesn't play well. But I think if Andrew Luck, they probably will win that game.
Aaron Foster came back this week, which I didn't touch upon that. He came back. They used him right away. So good for that.
Yeah.
Against a weak Indianapolis defense, might be a coming out party for him.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with Houston this one. I'm not sure I'm Luck, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This is a
tough one. It's not subject to change, because Luck's probably not playing. I'm probably going to pick Houston.
Good call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Both teams honestly suck so far. Like, I had the Colts going all the way, and I'm kind of pissed that I picked it.
Yeah.
Could change, though.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. I think I'm just going to say Houston for now.
Subject to change.
It's a change. It's that easy, Joey.
I'm not going to be surprised if either of these teams win.
Yeah, it's true. I feel the same way. I mean, if Luck's healthy, Indianapolis probably gets the edge, but if he's not.
He's been throwing a couple picks.
That's true. He's thrown 7 already.
And you got JJ Watt.
Look at Jay.
There.
Doing better than Andrew Luck. Woo!
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, that's
Luck's on his side right now.
Not at all.
He'll come back, though. He's got to rub the pie a little bit.
Dan, you might want to talk to him about your prediction and get his ass in gear.
Hey, man.
He's got a lot of catching up.
I said some bold words for your bold ass.
Joey, you want to say a few words about Carolina and everybody in the state right now?
Yeah, all that
North and South.
Like, yeah, you guys got to just – I hope you guys all know how to swim, honestly. Not being mean, but, I mean, I've been looking at pictures. I got a ton of family down there. Luckily, they were in the area where they don't have terrible flooding. They can't really go to too many places without a bridge shut down. I mean, it got awful.
Pictures, they were crazy.
Yeah, there's, like, literally holes, like, 20 feet deep. From just water crushing them.
There are streets that collapse. Like, bridges and...
Yeah, if you guys can get to high ground, stay there. Don't go out anywhere. I mean, I'm sure you already know that, but... I mean, hell, I got to give it to you guys.
Yeah, stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Let's hear...
Buy some floaties.
Good call. Yeah. Good facilitation devices are needed. Mm-hmm. Let's move to baseball talk, guys. October's here. It means baseball playoffs are here. It's the one time of year that I think everybody that's a baseball fan actually pays attention.
And also October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
So, yeah, check us out. We changed our picture to pink. Yeah. We know what's up. Yep. Support it. Houston at Yankees for tomorrow, 7:08 start Central Time. Dallas Keuchel, 20-8, 2.48 ERA for Houston. Tanaka, 12-7, 3.5 ERA for Yankees. We got the crazy story of Houston.
Yankee Doodle, man.
Or the Yankees coming back to dominance.
I think we'll go Yankees.
Okay.
The dominance right there.
Yeah, okay. I like Yankee Doodle.
Yeah, the Houston story is so cool. The last time, I believe, they made the playoffs was 2005. They were an NL team, and they were in the World Series against the White Sox.
And we destroyed them.
Yeah, that's right. We know what's up.
No way. I know.
But this Houston team, Dallas has been – he has kicked ass this year pitching. Tanaka's looked pretty good, too, coming back from surgery.
Dallas
Cooper. Tough, man. I really want the Cinderella story. I want the story to keep going in this young Houston team. So I'm going to go with Houston. In this
cool.
And then let's get to our game because the Chicago Cubs are playing the Pirates. I know none of us are Cubs fans. But as I touched upon this past weekend on the podcast, I said, here's the thing. I get it. There's a lot of Sox fans that are bitter and they're pissed and they're upset.
If you piss, your team sucks.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're just pissed because their team's doing so poor. Our team is doing so poorly. And here are the Cubs. Here's how I look at it. There were Cub fans who were bitter and upset and pissed in 2005.
Exactly.
And they were pissed in 2005, though, because they hadn't won in, since the last time we won still.
Mm-hmm.
So I see why they were pissed.
Because they're running really late. We could do
guys,
it first.
We won in 2005. Okay? We can't keep clinging to that either. We got to move
but
on.
We do.
I know. It's like Bears fans cling to that the fucking Super Bowl. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know how long ago that was?
Hardcore.
Was it 30
years
now?
Ago, yeah.
It's over. We're done with it. It's like a curse.
Because they're old now.
Yeah.
Literally died.
Bears, and it's like a curse. We win, and now it's just awful. So root for the Cubs. It's for the city of Chicago. Just do it.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard Sox fan. I love the Chicago White Sox. I hate the Cubs. But guess what? I really hate the Cardinals, too.
Yeah.
And the Pirates are in. You know,
yeah,
I don't
I know,
mind
right.
them.
Yeah, but even across the but they actually look good.
Yeah.
Like, I can actually see them winning.
Yeah, I know. And
they're hot right now.
I will say now, I think I talked about this past weekend, but my bold prediction, no matter what, whoever wins the Cubs and Pirates series, they're going to beat St. Louis in that opening round because St. Louis has struggled against each team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little beat up.
Cubs,
can you imagine? Can you believe this? The Cubs are third in that division and they have 97 wins.
Yeah,
that's division. That's pretty good.
The top three records in baseball belong to the NL Central. 100 wins, 98, 97.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But for the Cubs, guys, they've won 8 in a row coming into this. They're hot.
Yeah.
Jerky Arrieta looking like he might win the Cy Young Award. He's getting a little testy with Pirates fans on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I like
sure,
it.
That's like bringing back like the football, bringing back the old school.
Yeah. Get mouthy.
People pissed off.
Yeah.
That's competitive sports.
Exactly. Garrett Cole for the Pirates. Awesome. Looked really good against the Cubs as well, but Jake Arrieta just no hit the Pirates the other day. Or almost no hit the Pirates. I'm sorry. Almost no hit the Pirates the other day. This is probably the one game. I mean, Houston and the Yankees are cool, but the Cubs and Pirates, not even just because of the Cubs, the pitching matchup is going to be outstanding. Who wins? Do the Cubs continue, or do they just lose to the better team in the Pirates?
I mean,
I think I'm just going to go with the Cubs just because I want to see them win. But they've been that streak.
Yeah.
They've been doing so well. I'm not saying the Pirates haven't either.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, man, the Cubs. I would love to see the Cubs go farther.
They've overachieved.
I think
everybody's – maybe not overachieved, but they've blown away people's expectations.
I
think that's the
right
way to put
it. That's a blown away season.
Yeah, because
so far.
What did – I don't know what we talked about. I'd have to go back and listen to it when we did our baseball podcast. But even with Pete, I don't think any of us predicted that – I mean, I remember your funny guess of Cubs and Sox and World Series again. I remember. I don't think any of us predicted they were going to get 90 wins, at least.
No. I
thought,
didn't want to
have. I thought 84, 85 was a good spot.
We were kind of higher than like, we knew that they're probably going to be up and coming. Like, they're
starting to. Yeah, you know how they're going to mold together.
But, I mean, they've done like, such a, this fast in one season.
And a lot of it goes to Jake Arrieta and how much of an ace he's been. Because Lester, all in all, hasn't looked that great, but they bought it. They paid him this money for October, and you're here. If they get past the Pirates, it's going to be real fun. But this game is one of those games. It's going to be hard. I'm going to have to flip back and forth. The Hawks are on. The banner's being raised. I think they do that before 7 o'clock, so I should be able to see that before the Cubs start.
Yeah.
But I'm a Sox fan. Don't get me wrong, but I love postseason baseball, mm-hmm. and this is dramatic. Houston and the Yankees are something, like I said, but this is the Cubs and Pirates. You're in the same division. You win, you move on to play the Cardinals. The Pirates have been bounced all this time. The last two World Series winners, our last two or last year, I think maybe just last year, both the teams that were in the World Series came from the wild card games. Yeah. You say you're picking the Cubs, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Joey.
Yeah, I think I got to go with the Cubs, too. I mean, you know, being from Chicago, you want a Chicago team in there regardless. And honestly, for the White Sox fans out there, we're all, like we said constantly, we're White Sox fans, besides Pete, obviously. But if you're a fan of a team, you're a fan of the sport. So if you know, the – I don't know. There's a huge rivalry, I know, and back and forth of you should like them because they're from, you know, your town.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, oh, I hate them.
They got the rivalry.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, this is a big thing.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you want to say, I mean, it's great for them, great for Cubs and the fans and everybody. And they really do have a good shot at it. So I think I'm going
to
pick them.
Maybe if the Cubs are just kicking the Pirates' ass, like in the fifth inning, we'll just drive down to the city and get ready to party. Because, I mean, it's going to go nuts. The city's going to shut down. This is hard. I look at it this way. If the Cubs lose to the Pirates, they lost to the better team. Pirates are a better team. They have more experience. I think they're just, all in all, more solid. But if they win, then you beat a really good team.
Exactly.
You get too upset with whatever happens. If you lose, you lose.
You made it this far.
You did. And I think this is just blew away expectations everybody had. But I like Jerry Garriott. I think he's a stud. And I love Garrett Cole. I do like Garrett Cole. But I got to go with the Cubs in this one. I think the Cubs have a chance to do something. And it's just, I don't know what it is. And I hate it because I hate the Cubs. But it's like, it gives me this feeling when I watch them play, like that I don't get a lot, especially watching the Sox.
Yeah.
But it gives me this feeling like, wow, I'm watching something really special take place. And I like how young they are. I like Chris Bryant. I like Kyle Schwarber.
Mm-hmm.
Baez has looked, not bad. And Russell's looked pretty good. And Anthony Rizzo has just stepped up tremendously. Oh, it's going to be tough. I got to go with the Cubs, though. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we could be watching history in the making.
We could be.
Watching those games.
Yeah.
So, okay. That was the positive part of what my baseball talk was going to be. Here's the negative. Well, let's keep it positive one more time. The White Sox are getting a new scoreboard.
Okay, I was about to say you should do a bad and then a good one.
Well, they're getting a new scoreboard. I already said it.
That's 7 times bigger.
Yeah. 7 times bigger in center field. They will go from having the smallest to the biggest, so that's cool. I don't remember if the report said they're getting two extra ones, too, or just the new one in the center.
Did they say what the official size
of? 7,500-something. Is it inches, probably? Yeah.
Because
right now it's like 1,400. It's going to almost 7 times.
It's going to cover like half the freaking stadium.
It's going to be huge.
That's cool. Well, now when I go there, I should be able to see it.
Here's the thing.
A ruler on that one.
Here's the thing. Yeah. So I got the news. If any of you guys are listening to the last one, you heard my rant. But now I did say once Joey and Dan are back that I want them included in this rant. So we're going to part deux. That's the thing. Then when I got the news that Rick Hahn had said that Rob Ventura will be the manager for 2016, I had a lot of feelings. I wanted to throw my phone and hop right on the new – jump to a new iPhone – thing for Verizon. I was about to take advantage of that because I was pretty upset. And I had no desire to see that team next year whatsoever. But joke's on me because I got a new screen, so now I have to go see it.
That's why they did it.
That's why they did
it. Shitty guy. Nice screen, though.
Yeah. That's what my dad said. The same thing. I was not going to go see them, but, well, got to go see the new screen. And when you said that, you're like, I better go see the screen. I'm like, well, that's how I felt.
You see it on TV. It's great.
Yeah, true, but I know that how cheap these tickets are going to be because they're going to be so bad.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to go over some stats again. Like I said, sorry if you listen to this on the weekend. I'm just going to go over just to run down a little bit. They fired their bench coach, Mark Parent, which was just no guts to do that. You fire the wrong guy and you know it. It was like trying to fire somebody just to get everybody to be happy about it, but we know what the real problem was. Ventura will stay, which will be also most of the coaches will stay. 295 and 349. That's his record. That's not good. That's not good. He has no division championships. He did take third place in Manager of the Year in 2012. That was his first year, 85 wins. And then it dropped 63, 73, and 76.
Not good.
Wow. And you kept him. What's your thoughts on the Sox there?
I mean, you obviously don't really care about your team. Like, looking at it, first of all, like you said, he doesn't even want to be there, but they're, you know, kind of making him. I mean, why would you want that guy on your team? It's like...
He shows no leadership quality. He looks like he doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he doesn't want to be there.
I mean, you when they tried to sign him in 2012, I think he said no, like, three times.
It seems to me, man, it just shows that the Sox don't want to try and make themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like they just want to keep the same people and try to make things work within. Well, yeah. That's not already working. So you got to make, decisions, you're the people, get new people in. It seems like they don't want to take that step to do that. They just want to keep the same people. Yeah. If that didn't work, why the hell are you doing it?
Yeah.
Just laziness.
Exactly. I put it where they are settling for mediocrity, and that's not good. As a Sox fan, that pisses me off a lot.
Yeah, that's for any team. You do that. So what the fuck is that?
You know,
all this money and you don't do anything with it.
That's the thing I touched upon multiple times, that the Cubs sucked, but they did it for a reason. There was a method behind that we're building towards something.
Mm-hmm.
And look what we're seeing.
Exactly.
Now, I know it's a lot different because the Sox fans are not nearly as faithful as Cubs fans, and they won't sit through a rebuild. Like, they just won't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us will because we get the concept, but there's a lot of people that just won't. But my thing is, no one goes to the games when you're not rebuilding. When you're supposed to be good, no one goes. You know, I don't even know if a lot of people win 05 for most of the season until the end. It just – complacency has infested the White Sox for a long time. It starts at the top with Jerry Reinsdorf. Look at what he does with the Bulls. The Bulls are so complacent after Jordan. I'm sorry, but without Jordan, Reinsdorf has no championships besides the White Sox.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's Jordan made that team, not Reinsdorf, not any of the owner, not any of the general managers, not the, anything.
You got lucky.
Right. You got lucky that Portland made the wrong pick.
Yeah. Michael
That's why you got lucky.
Yeah. I mean, Clyde Drexler's not bad, but definitely not as good as Jordan.
No, yeah, exactly. No, Jordan took it to a whole different, level. He's
the greatest Bulls player.
The GOAT. Let's go. Michael.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
I hope it's other Bulls.
What the hell am I talking about?
Oh,
man.
Is it relevant?
Yeah.
Honestly, no.
But no, I mean, if that's where it starts, is Reinsdorf, and it dwindles down, and Kenny Williams. And I really had hopes for Rick Hahn. I did. I was like, oh, look at him. Look at him spending money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's different. I'll accept it. Okay, cool. But you can't separate from what needs to be separated. Like, you can't. Why? Why do we continue with Ventura? Why? Why do we keep hiring people that used to play for the team? We don't care as Sox fans. I don't give a damn where he came from. I don't care if he played for the Sox, played for the Slammers. I don't care who he played for. Like, if he's good, he's good. And guess what? Ventura's not good. He's awful.
Yeah.
The stats show it. They have the 15th highest payroll in baseball. That's not bad. You're right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
I can accept that. Here's their signings from this year. Zach Duke. He went 3-6. 3.45 ERA, 60 innings pitch. Not good. Adam LaRoche, 209, 12 home runs. Not good. Melton Cabrera, not bad. 12 home runs, 76 RBIs, 275. Kind of where he sits when he's not on the roids. So that's not bad. Jeff Samardzija, 11-13, 4.96 ERA. That's not good. He was supposed to be your big number two. There's a reason the Cubs didn't want him. That's why.
He's not that good.
I know a lot of it has to rest on the offense not being good, but again, he gave up almost five runs. Sorry.
5 yards, 5 innings.
I was like, looking at this. And, five runs. He's averaging. That's bad. No offense in baseball can help you when you're that bad.
Yeah, right.
And then David Robertson, supposed to be a great closer, 6-5, 33 saves, 3.47 ERA. That's not good for a closer. Be great if you were like a middle reliever. I'd accept it. All right, not bad. Are you serious? You're supposed to be closer? I'm frustrated. But a bright spot for the White Sox, Abreu became the second player to start a career with back-to-back 30 home run and 100 RBI seasons. The only other player was Albert Pujols.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good comparison. Sox need a lot done. And I had hopes because I assumed that Ventura was going to get fired and that this team would say, okay, that didn't work. Let's keep what we can and move on.
Yeah.
I really hope that that's still how they think. If you're going to keep Ventura, I'm still going to be pissed, and I hope that any Sox fan that goes to the home opener boos the shit out of him, because they should, because he's not, he shouldn't be there. But I hope that they still look at this and say, oh, this is all wrong. We did this terribly. I mean, come on. I get it. Sports Illustrated picked the Indians to win the World Series, and that was wrong. But a lot of people picked the White Sox to make a run, at least the wild card.
Well, on paper, they look good.
Yeah, they did. They were supposed to. It was bad. Real bad. I'm going to hop off my soapbox with the White Sox because that's just disgusting me. I'm sure during the winter, I'll get even more frustrated when they don't make moves.
Yeah,
and it pisses me off some more. Because there's a lot of problems with the Sox that they have to address. And you could tell me, oh, well, we didn't address all the issues in the offseason. Well, you tried to cover a pretty good amount of them. You tried to grab an outfielder and a good hitter in Cabrera. It wasn't that bad. You needed a starter. You got Samardzija. Didn't work. Needed bullpen help. Duke and Robertson. Didn't help. LaRoche. He was worse than Adam Dunn, basically. I mean, that was bad. My God. Just, fuck that team. Thank God that I don't have to worry about this for a while. But, yeah, baseball, thank God the postseason's here. This week we'll go over, after the wild card games, who we think is going to make the run and make it to the World Series. We'll go over that this weekend.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be. Just to wrap things up here, guys, let's go over. I'm going to go over a little bit of college football and what happened this past weekend. Ohio State remains number one, but they survived. That was survival mode because they were this close to losing to Indiana.
I don't know how.
Beats me. Notre Dame drops after losing to Clemson and just a mud-soaked game pouring. I mean, Carolina, that's where they were at, so pretty rough. But here's what the top ten is right now. Ohio State, TCU, who looked really good. Baylor looked pretty good. Michigan State barely surviving Purdue, so they dropped a four. Utah and Clemson move up. LSU, Bama, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. Starting to shake up a little bit. There's still a chance that Bama gets into that top four, even though they lost to Ole Miss, because Ole Miss lost to – who the hell did Ole Miss lose to? Oh, my God. I don't know. They lost to Florida, but bad, 38-10. So, rough. And they dropped two out of that. So, that's tough. Ole Miss. The rest of the way, it's Florida 11, Florida State 12, Northwestern 13th, moving up.
Yeah, they were, what, 17 before?
Mm-hmm. They're moving up.
Wow, yeah.
Ole Miss drops to 14. Notre Dame drops to 15. Stanford, USC, Michigan rises up from 22nd to 18th. They've been blowing guys out, dang. How you feeling?
I've seen it. And looking good for me.
Harbaugh.
So I'm happy with it.
Georgia falls to Bama, so they drop to 19. UCLA fell to Arizona State. They dropped to 20. Then it's Oklahoma State. Iowa makes their debut into the top 25. California's 23rd. Toledo from the MAC gets in at 24. And Boise State is at 25. College football getting going here, guys. As I said, conference plays on, and we think anything can happen because Michigan State and Ohio State were this close to losing.
Yeah.
Coming up this week, Illinois at Iowa.
Great.
That doesn't look good for Illinois. Big game for you, Dan. Northwestern versus Michigan. I don't know if Michigan's going to blow them out.
I don't think so.
It's at Michigan, though.
The last three games, they've blown out everybody.
It is at Ann Arbor, though. And Michigan plays really good at home. So this is going to be tough for Northwestern to go in there and beat Michigan. They're really hard to beat at home. But for Michigan, it's going to be one of the more talented teams they've played in Northwestern.
Yeah, especially if they don't really play good schools.
I don't know. I still think Michigan pulls this one out just because it's at home.
Yeah.
Navy versus Notre Dame. That's a great rivalry they've had over the years. And I know that they're going to – what did I see? Their uniforms are going to be, like, really similar. Like, the same colors they're going to wear. And they're going to, like – it's supposed to mean something. I forgot. Central Michigan versus Western Michigan. Central Michigan coming off of a big win versus NIU. Maryland versus Ohio State. I hope to God Ohio State blows them out of the water. If not, what the fuck? I think that's Georgia and Tennessee will be a pretty good game. Oregon, who's not in the top 25, they cannot get things on track. They play Washington State. I thought their uniforms are supposed to – they look cool, actually.
It's not going
to
help you, probably.
It's going to have, like, Lewis and Clark. That's what's supposed to be on for going the Oregon Trail or whatever. It looks actually pretty cool, so.
You always got cool jerseys.
That's true.
That.
Joey, as you talked about, aren't they the same? Miami, the U, versus Florida State. aren't they just the same? California versus Utah, that'll be a big game to see if California can pick up an upset on a top five team in Utah. All right, guys. That's about it this week. Oh, I'm going to ask a question before we go. So everybody, when they do things, whether it's working out, whether it's gaming. Oh, that's – sorry, two questions. I didn't get a chance to ask you guys. So Colin Coward from Fox Sports 1, The Herd, has been having a lot to say about gamers and wrestling fans, but fuck him. I'm not even going to get into that piece of shit. At one point called them both booger eaters. And he made a huge thing about how
– and losers.
Basically, and how he's making a big thing because TBS and all them are going to broadcast the esports and how that shouldn't be considered and they shouldn't do that. I'm going to let you guys – your thoughts on that and why esports should be where it's going.
I mean, like we talked about in our gaming podcast, that whether or not you want to admit it, gaming is technically the future. That's where everything is going. Everything is a game. Literally everything, driving, football, baseball, soccer, you name it, it's a game. I mean, freaking Grand Theft Auto, real life, war. So, and wrestling, of course, but
fuck them.
Like, but if you want to, I mean, say what you will. I mean, I'm not going to get mad at the guy for voicing his opinion, but I mean, don't insult an entire community because you're salty about, you know, something you don't like or, you know, for whatever it's
reason. Pretty harsh about it.
I don't know. I mean, did your son just get obese and diabetes from playing games?
No,
is that why you're upset?
His kid's little, and he comes out and said that he doesn't want his kid to be obese and play video games. He wants him to be outside. Do actual things. I respect that. I don't have a problem with that.
Which most kids still do.
Right.
And do not know what kids do.
And I think, like, are you like, come on. There's a point where you sound, like, you know, it's an intelligent, and there's a point where you just sound stupid.
Yeah.
And that's how it comes off. He just comes off like he's just trying to bash a certain group.
I mean, I know, like, because it is different. You know, most people are we're used to actually football, baseball, hockey, you know, actual, like, you know, physical sports that we see as sports. That's what it is. Nothing else is really like that, you know. Something like this virtual, we're not anything physical. You're not sweating. You're not, you know, have to work out and get really strong. You know, I personally think that anything that involves skill and competitive, I consider a sport. If you have to have a certain skill to do it, and you can be competitive, you can get mad at people, have teammates, it's a sport. That's how I look
at it. So how do you look at wrestling, though?
Same thing. I mean, it's competitive.
Yeah, and you got to be athletic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where my thing comes in. The gaming thing, that irritates the shit out of me because it does take skill. One, he got the game wrong. He was calling it League of Legends, the clip that he was showing. It was not League of Legends at all. I don't remember what it was. I'll have to show you guys if you can tell me. But Gordon Hayward of the Jazz got on there, and he just basically ripped him. About how he's like, I'm a gamer. There's a lot of athletes that are gamers, and we like this stuff. And he's like, do you really sit there and watch League of Legends or blah, blah? He's like, yeah, I do. He goes, but just so you know, that's not League of Legends that you showed on your show. I mean, that's a different game. But
yeah, just how ignorant this guy is if he doesn't even know what a game really, truly is.
Yeah.
And like Dan was saying, just because it's not physical, it's 100% mental.
Yeah.
You have to think. It's using your brain pretty much 95% of the time is all brain.
Yeah.
Trying to process what's going on, what should you do, how are you going to process everything and react.
Yeah.
So just because you're not lifting or running a mile or doing this or that, you're exercising your brain, which theoretically, brain over brawn.
Like chess. Yeah. Chess is considered a sport. There's nothing physical about it. It's all skill and strategy and mind. It's just what it kind of.
I mean, and we game and we're not in that bad shape.
No, I mean, we play basketball all the time and football.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can still game. You can do both.
Because you see Koreans, you know, ruin us. Okay.
I look at it, and the wrestling comment. Here's the thing: it's predetermined. That's the only thing that you can ever knock on wrestling. It's predetermined. Everything they do, all the bumps they take, the hits they take, the injuries are real.
I don't know.
Don't
why people
tell
get
me.
No butthurt about being scripted. Like it doesn't matter.
People, it's a live drama.
I mean, look at that.
What
happened to Sting?
Right.
You don't think sports
people
like
get hurt.
Fix something?
You have to be athletic to do it.
I call it Baltimore Super Bowl. Fix the shit.
A lot of people came out and said, I mean, a lot of people have said, like, hey, do you see this? I mean, these guys do real things. A lot of these guys have, like, professional sport backgrounds before they get into wrestling. So that's just absurd. It's something that's always gone off. He'll never change it. I don't really care. I think he's a piece of shit, so whatever. But that's one thing I wanted to talk about because I wanted to get your guys' opinion on the gamer spot. And the next question is, So this, you know, we all have things that we love to do, whether it's gaming, whether it's working out, whether it's playing sport, whatever. But one thing that ties us all together is music. We all listen to music when we do these things. So
exactly.
When you're doing some certain activities that you really like, what kind of music do you like to listen to? I'll start with you, Joe.
Well, when I'm driving, I kind of like a good mix of just about everything, but mainly rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Like how when me and Ryan did our Power Hour, to discuss our favorite bands. Those are the bands I like listening to, like the heavy rock, AC/DC.
Yeah.
I like being able to like nod my head and go back and forth, but I also like having hip hop and rap going on because I got some pretty nice subwoofers.
Yeah.
And I like the bounce a little bit.
I
get a little ghetto sometimes, white boy style. But when I'm gaming though, I take a completely different turn. And I'm not a dubstep or house music guy, but when it comes to gaming, that is my go-to music. Don't know why, it puts me in the mood hardcore, because the beats just get me going. Playing the League of Legends game one day, like 0-5, sucking balls, just kept listening to music, relaxing, ended up going like 15-5, brought our team to victory.
There you go.
Just listening to the music, kept me calm, kept the beats, got with it.
Yeah.
So different things, different style.
Man.
I mean, it kind of just depends. Like, I, like Joey said, I like to kind of just, like, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Usually, any activity, I kind of, it's just, like, I'll have a little bit of rock and roll there, a little bit of rap. I'll have, you know, dubstep or techno, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I kind of just have a little bit of everything, because I don't like to just listen to one thing, because I get sick of it.
Yeah.
And I like to change it up, then go back to it, and then go to rock, then go to rap a little bit, then come back, go to, you know, dubstep, something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost, like, everything.
Yeah.
I don't like to just have it set for one thing.
I gotcha. For me, like, driving, I think, lately I've been really just cruising and listening to country. It's been kind of my thing. But I do like listening to rock and stuff like that too while I drive, but definitely country lately. But like for different things, like for instance, like when I work out, it can be rock or rap or maybe even dubstep, but it has to be hard.
Yeah,
it's got to be like really like, oh yeah, or wrestling music like Brock Lesnar's entry or John Cena's music, but it has to have a really, for me, a lot of times it has to have like a hard beat.
Yeah. Good riffs.
Right. So it just kind of drives you into that next, into that zone that you have to get
up,
into.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I agree with you guys. It's basically a mix of everything. All right, guys. That's our episode for the beginning of this week. We'll be back later this week to go over the wild card games and our postseason prediction, along with a recap of Thursday Night Football and a preview of Week 5 in the NFL. As always, follow us on Twitter at SecondCitySC, Facebook.com/SecondCitySportsChat. You can listen to us every week on blogtalkradio.com/SecondCitySportsChat. For you guys with Apple devices, use iTunes. And with Android, use Stitcher. And as always, find it all on SecondCitySportsChat.com. It is time for my favorite time of the week. Dan, take us away with the quote of the week.
Thanks, Ryan. Happiness resides not in possessions and not in gold. Happiness dwells in the soul. Democritus.
You stay breezy, Chicago.